open leer. Things have been hard, that's all. I can't share this with Grandfather. He'd assure me I misheard Malkin. Never able to believe anything ill of one of our blessed mages. Believing that all of us first children are pure and blameless in a sea of evil ones. I look around nervously once more, scanning the vast crowd for Malkin Bane. Is he fasting tonight? I pity the poor young woman chosen for such a cruel monster. Grandfather reaches out and places a quivering hand on my shoulder.
You've nothing to fear, my dear. We're among our own people now.
He glances toward the sky and smiles at me benevolently.
The Ancient One will protect us and provide for us.
He looks at my tunic and skirt, as if noticing them for the first time.
And don't you look lovely?
He beams at me, tears coming to his eyes.
See how well they provide for us here? Simple Lower River folk, and they dress you in rubies.
No, Grandfather, I want to tell him, wanting to shake his delusions clear away. They despise me and call me names. This dress is Fane's doing, and you'd despise and shun him if you knew half the truth of his life. Grandfather pulls me into a bony hug that's full of genuine warmth, and I lean into him, letting him offer what comfort he can. It's parchment thin, this sense of protection, the momentary feeling of being taken care of, but I cling to it, fighting the urge to burst into tears. And I suddenly wish I could confide in my grandfather, talk honestly with him for once and have him truly hear. I'm tired, Grandfather. I yearn to tell him. Tired of struggling, tired of never knowing where our next meal will come from. Of fighting and never having enough of anything. I wish someone else would take the reins for a while and let me rest. Just for a little while. Why does it always have to be so hard? I'll talk to Fane, I reassure myself. He'll understand. He knows what it's like to struggle and not fit in. To be attacked and misunderstood and thought to be morally unclean. He knows what it's like to feel completely alone. He said he'd look for me after the fasting. I remember. Comfort washes over me at the thought of at least one true friend. And he'll believe me when I tell him about Malkin Bane.
Tessie!
Rosebeth's high-pitched little girl voice sounds over the jovial murmur of the crowd. She rushes toward us, her pretty skirts swishing, and my grandfather beams at her.
She's coming!
Rosebeth squeals, full of bouncing energy. A long line of military men with grim expressions march in, parting the crowd. Some stream into the command tent, while others position themselves along the length of the path.
"Who's coming, dear?"
my grandfather gently asks her, his hand resting on her agitated shoulder.
"She's come back from the front,"
Rosebeth says breathlessly.
"And she's going to meet with us! Can you believe it?"
"Who is?" I ask her. Realization starting to dawn, but I can't quite bring myself to believe it.
Mage Carnissa Gardner!
She cries, overjoyed, tears brimming in her eyes.
Mage Vale Gardner's mother! Oh, Tessie, can you believe it? We're going to be fasted by the Black Witch herself!
Chapter 20 Mages There are flags everywhere, hanging from the tent's colossal support beams, streaming from the rafters. I take in the sight of the black fabric marked with silver Urthia spheres. I'm used to the red Celtic flag with its iron black X. It was a crime to hoist our flag on Celtic territory, punishable by death. And now, here they are, everywhere. Our flag, the flag of Gardneria. Grandfather and I follow the flow of the crowd. We're ushered onto a long bench by a gray-haired woman wearing a white armband, who throws me a look rife with suspicion. Have Jenna's rumors about Jules and me reached everyone here? The tent is being filled from front to back with orderly rows of refugees, a broad aisle cutting through its center. Young soldiers line the tent's edges, some holding torches. Our uniformly dark garb and the wavering torchlight lend a sobering air to the growing gathering, but there's a heady excitement in the air. Murmurs of anticipation ripple through the crowd, and heads repeatedly turn back to search past the open entrance flaps. We're all on the edge of our seats, waiting to meet her, the Black Witch. All 12 of the base's level 5 mages stand in an arc around the back of the dais. My eyes immediately light on Vale. He's standing next to Fane, the two of them speaking to each other, their faces grim. I recoil as I spot Malkin Bane there, too, off to the right, near a knot of priests. I shrink down at the sight of him, heart hammering, hoping to hide from his icy gaze. I peek through the crowd and spot Vale's sister, Vivian Gardner, and his bespectacled brother, Edwin Gardner, standing near Vale and Fane. Vivian's clothing is appropriately somber, but still devastatingly elegant. Her tunic rises high at the neck, and gleaming gems are loosely scattered all over the dark silk. Rosebeth is seated across the aisle from me, overflowing with joy, color high on her dimpled cheeks. She is seated by Miles and is surrounded by her brothers, her parents, and Miles's entire family. Elated by the sudden turn of their fortunes, they're all smiling, an ecstatic mood in the air. A parcel of farmland has been offered to every newly fasted Gardnerian couple, portioned out from the recently annexed Celtic territory. There's also the possibility of more land and money for every Gardnerian child born. All the couples who are about to be fasted have bright futures ahead of them. But not me, I dispassionately observe. No one here would fast to me. Jenna and her friends sweep in and settle near Rosebeth. After Vivian, Jenna's easily the most beautiful woman here. The dark silk she wears shimmers silver along the folds, and pearls edge her sleeves and collar. Jenna spots me and looks me over from head to toe, obviously surprised to see me clean and dressed in such elegant clothing. She shoots me a malicious look, then leans over to whisper to the young woman standing next to her. They both narrow their eyes at me, and there's a knowing smirk on Jenna's face, as if she's certain my pariah status is cemented in stone. I remember Vale's surprising rejection of beautiful Jenna, and look toward him. I feel a jolt when his eyes lock onto mine at the exact same moment. I can feel the sting of his fiery surprise from clear across the room, and he looks sharply away. I turn to Fane, and his head jerks up slightly as he catches my eye, warm recognition lighting his expression. Fane's mouth turns up into his usual impish smile, and he throws a line of cool water out to me from across the room. The affinity water flows in to meet my unsettled fire, momentarily tamping it down and soothing me. He knows, I realize. Fane knows I can read affinity lines. It's a rare skill, and usually held only by level 5 mages. Breathing in deep and feeling bolstered by his show of support, I smile back at Fane gratefully. Vale's attention is still on me, even though he's keeping his eyes averted from mine. Lines of his fire occasionally whip out to meet with my own affinity lines. Then a sharp, painful prod of ice cuts through Vale's fire and Fane's water. It tears at my fire like a cruel taunt. Startled, I look to the right to find Malkin Bane staring at me, a disturbingly malicious grin on his face. I glance away and slump down further. Ice jabs at me again and again. Angered, I send up an internal wall of fire against it, pushing my lines out with as much force as I can summon. Laughing, Malkin turns away, his ice retreating. He knows, too, I realize. He knows I can sense affinities, or at least he knows now. I turn and see Fane eyeing me quizzically, his head tilted with concern. Small dots of ice probe at my fire, feather light. Horrified, I realize Malkin's testing my wall, testing for a weak spot. I'm not only a pariah, I realize with icy clarity. I've become prey for both Jenna and Malkin Bane. I grit my teeth, link air to my fire lines, and send up a stronger wall of fire that shatters Malkin's icy probe, driving it back with gale force. his eyes light with surprise. Deeply rattled, I wind more wind around my fire lines, securing my wall, bolstering it with a long line of wood. Just try it. I see that Malkin Bean. Try to torment me now. Suddenly, everyone around me rises. A murmur of anticipation ripples through the massive crowd as every head in the room turns toward the entrance of the tent. I rise along with the crowd as a new contingent of soldiers march in. Voices swell with excitement all around me, and I'm instantly swept up in it. She's coming. The Black Witch is coming. My memory of her is crystal clear. Our valiant destroyer, riding in on a dragon that fearsome night, raining fire down on our enemies, saving us all. Soldiers fan out as they enter, everyone's fists going hard over their hearts with a communal thump, and I join them. Grandfather is weeping beside me. I can feel the Black Witch's rush of firepower before I see her. The soldiers part, and she enters, her forest green eyes dazzling with ferocity. The crowd whips into a frenzy at the sight of her, roaring their support. People burst into tears and thrust their hands out toward her as she passes, her stride powerful and controlled, like a wildcat's. Her black hair is long and streaming over her shoulders, the lines of her face severe and beautiful. Carnissa Gardner's affinity lines are so strong, her power so immense, that magic courses off her body in visible waves. Tendrils of black mist flow from her like a terrible mane. A rush of her affinity fire slams into me and nearly drives all the breath from my lungs. My throat goes scorching hot. So intense is the power of her fire as it whips out in a turbulent frenzy. I feel almost mage-drunk again from the effects of Carnissa Gardner's power, her fire flowing into me, coursing around the wall I've sent up. Her affinity dwarfs every other affinity in the room, and I'm momentarily unable to sense a single other line of magic. As she ascends the dais, the roaring outpour of support takes some time to settle down. She holds up her hands, awe-inducing lines of power streaming off them. The room silences, save for the occasional quiet sob of joy.
Mages!
It's just one simple word, but the crowd catches fire. Cheers erupt, near deafening, my own heart swept up along with it. Tears sting at my own eyes as my grandfather continues to weep. Mage. It used to be a slur, but on her lips, it's become a mighty word of power. This is a new world for us, a Gardnerian world. She waits, and slowly the crowd quiets.
For too long, she booms out. We mages have been crushed down, enslaved, abused, mocked. They thought they could push back our borders until we were left with no ground to stand on. They thought they could steal our homes and every meager possession we owned.
Her tone grows fierce.
They thought they could wipe us off the face of Earthia.
The crowd briefly erupts, yelling out their protest. A maternal smile comes to Carnissa Gardner's lips, and she raises her arms as if she's embracing all of us.
My beloved first children, you have waited so long, waited for the age of the evil ones to draw to a close. I tell you this, mages.
She pauses, and her eyes seem to catch fire.
The Ancient One has a mighty fist, and the reaping times have come.
The crowd goes wild, mages shouting with defiant joy, slamming their fists to their chests. People are calling her Maim, revered mother in the ancient tongue. When the mages finally quiet again, Carnissa Gardner looks toward a knot of priests.
Bring the children forward.
The priests and a group of elderly women usher a group of about 20 young children forward onto the dais, white bands around the women's arms. Volunteers from inland, here to help all of us refugees. There's a boy of about 2 with pudgy cheeks, his wide eyes looking out over the crowd in terror, his mouth set in a wide, trembling grimace. A little girl of about 4 years old whimpers as she grasps at a worn blanket, her eyes tightly shut. There are two babies being gently rocked by volunteers. So many children, looking so lost. Orphans, I realize with a sharp pang of grief.
Mages, the Black Witch calls out, looking over the crowd. The evil ones think they can make orphans of our children. They want to see mage children begging in the streets and cowering in the shadows.
Her eyes burn with outrage.
But they do not know who we are. They do not know that every mage child is the Ancient One's beloved.
A righteous challenge lights her eyes, tendrils of power circling around her.
Who will take in our blessed children? To raise as your own, giving them the protection of your name.
Hands shoot up, mages calling out,
We will!
And,
We'll take a child!
A husband and wife seated near me give each other quick glances and volunteer as well. Couples and their relatives go to the dais. The children are given out to their new families. The terror-stricken little boy is lifted into the arms of a young couple, his terror dampening to confusion as he's surrounded by encouraging smiles. The little girl with the blanket is the last to leave the dais, surrounded by adults kneeling down to her level, her new father talking to her in hushed tones. Eventually, she stops crying and lets herself be led away by her new family. Practically everyone in the room is blinking back tears. I look to the Black Witch, my own eyes burning with emotion. A great love for her washes over me. She's created a new world for us, made sure our most vulnerable are now cherished and cared for. The Black Witch bows her head and draws her fist over her heart as the crowd stills.
Pray with me, blessed mages.
A tall, bald priest raises his hands above the crowd, and the entire room places fists over hearts once again, bowing their heads. Everyone except for Vale. I'm shocked to find him standing straight and stiff, his eyes burning with defiance as his siblings take on the posture of prayer beside him. How can he refuse to pray with all of us at this moment? How can he fail to be moved? A hot flame of censure flares inside me, and I press my fist to my chest, bowing my head in defiance. O most holy Ancient One, I intone with the others. Purify our minds, purify our hearts, purify Earthia. Protect us from the stain of the evil ones. Our prayer ends, but this time there are no cheers. Most of the room is crying. And now I'm crying, too, along with Grandfather. Allowed to pray together without being dragged out and beaten, without being thrown in prison, flogged, killed.
Mages,
the Black Witch tells us, her voice thick with emotion.
We must increase our numbers and fill all the corners of Earthia. Tonight is a night of new beginnings.
She looks out over the crowd.
Who here is ready to be fasted, to join with me in building our blessed magedom?
Cries rise in a cacophony throughout the room. Young couples' hands thrust up into the air. The priest gestures solemnly toward the center of the crowd. Rosebeth and Miles get up and walk to the dais. The crowd bursts into a frenzy of jubilation. Women pull iron flowers from their hair and pockets and throw them into the air. The glowing flowers soon carpet the central aisle, and the blue petals cling to Rosebeth's and Miles's hair. They're guided onto the dais by the priests as everyone beams at them. They move to stand on either side of a small altar, then clasp their hands over it. Another priest guides their families forward to stand around them. The Black Witch holds her wand over the couple's clasped hands as a hush falls over the room. The head priest opens our holy book, the Book of the Ancients, and reads the fasting prayer. Tears stream down my cheeks as I watch them, overcome.
though Rosebeth hasn't been the most loyal friend since we arrived here, I've known her since we were small children, and I'm beside myself with relief to see her so happy and cared for. The Black Witch murmurs the fasting spell, and her dark lines of power whip about the couple, whirling around their hands. And then it's over. The dark lines of magic abruptly pulled into both Rosebeth's and Miles's hands. With ecstatic smiles, they lift their fast-marked hands to the crowd. The permanent black fast lines now swirl in a dancing pattern over their glittering skin. Everyone applauds and cheers. The couple's families envelop them in an embrace, their collective happiness bubbling over as they all make their way off the dais and into a bright future. Couple after couple follow their lead, bounding up to be fasted to wild cheers. Each couple's eldest male guardian makes a tearful, earnest speech of gratitude to the Ancient One, to our Black Witch, and to Gardnerians everywhere. All of Jenna's Upper River friends rise to fast, three of them to level 5 mages. Jenna looks on, beaming, but she remains curiously seated. It goes on for some time, and my elation for my long-beleaguered people slowly starts to chip away. I'm standing on the fringes of all of it, dressed up for a party where no one would ever want me. Not if they all knew about my friendship with Jules. I'm an outcast, like Fane. And not just because of Jules. The list of my oddities is far longer than just that. I can read affinities. I'm one of those rare females with magic, and I've used it without Mage Council approval. Nils ascends the dais, his military cloak swishing, one of Jenna's pretty friends on his arm. I can feel Jenna's triumphant glare as my heart sinks low as a stone in a well. I watch the shy way the pretty young woman looks at Nils, their eyes gleaming with hope and the promise of sweet romance. The whole atmosphere of the hall is vibrating with such emotions, the results of rampant matchmaking everywhere I look. Couple after couple cling to each other. I'm filled with a sudden longing for a fastmate of my own. Someone handsome and kind. Someone who would help me look after Grandfather and Wren. Someone who wouldn't think I was strange to be friends with a Celt.
Mage Bartholomew Harrow, please approach with your granddaughter.
The sound of the priest calling out Grandfather's name jolts through me. I look to Grandfather in confusion, but he simply pats my hand and smiles at me with gentle reassurance. I take a steadying breath to calm myself. The fastings are finished. The priests are stepping back from the altar. I know Grandfather has spent most of our brief time here with the priests, going to service, praying, even leading an informal prayer circle. And the priests have been kind to us, praying over Wren, sending over their own apothecary. And it's been a blessing to see Grandfather treated with reverence and respect, instead of targeted with cruel taunts. Perhaps the priests seek to honor Grandfather in some way for his deep faith. I help him toward the dais, the two of us soon joined by the head priest, who smiles at me benevolently and helps me support Grandfather the rest of the way. I bolster my protective wall of fire as we climb the stairs of the raised platform. The combined affinities of so many level 5 mages, as well as the overwhelming affinity power of the Black Witch, are like a barrage of magical spears. Fire, earth, air, light, water. A cacophony of elemental magic courses through the air and against my wall of fire. We approach the Black Witch, and I struggle to maintain my balance. The black tendrils of her power circle around me, waves of fire emanating out with insatiable heat. Breathless, I hold onto Grandfather's arm and struggle to maintain my protective wall. Her eyes are deep green, just like Vale's, and the same fiery heat simmers behind them, except her heat is multiplied 1,000-fold.
Mage Harrow, I have heard tales of you.
I'm astonished, and a little panicked, to have her attention directed so singularly toward me.
All conflicting,
she continues. She motions toward Vale, who seems as thrown as I am by this turn of conversation.
But my son Vale assures me that you did, in fact, save a considerable number of your brethren through bravery and magic.
My heart races. Her magic. It's so strong I can barely think around it.
I believe him,
she says, a slight smile forming on her lips.
Which is why I have decided to allow a test of purity.
What? I look to Grandfather in confused desperation. But he's smiling at the priests, and they're eyeing him knowingly in turn, their expressions filled with paternal solidarity. They're allied in this, I realize with spiking alarm. Whatever this is, I catch Fane's look of confusion and apprehension. His disorientation is mirrored in Vale's storming eyes. I'm suddenly on high alert, my heart thudding against my chest.
Mage Harrow,
the Black Witch says, her tone gone hard.
There have been charges of Stainen raised against you, with a Celt.
A shocked wave of sound flashes through the crowd. I shrink back, blinking out at them all, intimidated by the sheer force of the dark censure pressing in all around me. It's not true! I defend myself, my voice shrill. Jules and I, we were never... I'm drowned out by a swell of outraged murmuring in response to the sound of Jules' Celtic name, overlaid with shouts of outright condemnation.
You will be fasted this very night, Mage Harrow,
the Black Witch commands, her fire coursing around me.
And if you are not pure, it will be revealed to all.
Fast! I cry out. To whom? I look to Grandfather, who pats me on the shoulder. His eyes aren't on me. They're on Priest Alphax, who nods at him approvingly, all of them humoring my anguish.
Tessie, calm yourself,
he tells me in a stern tone I've never heard him use before.
I prayed on this, and the Ancient One led me to the right young man for you. It's high time you were fasted. You must trust me in this.
My grandfather and the priests turn and look toward the line of level 5 mages, past Vale and Fane, clear across the dais. Malkin Bane strides forward, smooth as a serpent, a cold, cruel gleam in his eyes. No! I gasp, blanching, staggering back. I look to Grandfather, pleading. I can't fast to him, Grandfather! Please, don't make me do this! Not to him! Anyone but him!
Tesla!
He admonishes me.
Be calm. I demand it.
He looks to the head priest for reassurance, and the tall man nods at him.
I am your guardian,
Grandfather says with a pious authority at odds with his reedy, quavering voice.
I must be obeyed as such. This is for your own good, Tesla. You will see, in time.
No! I step away from his hand, panic rising. I won't! Grandfather looks to the Black Witch and holds his hands out to her in a pleading gesture.
It is completely natural for an innocent girl to have some hesitation.
A nasty smirk spreads across Malkin's face. I suddenly know exactly what this is. He's agreed to this in the hope of seeing me disgraced. He believes Jules is my lover and that I can't be fasted. He wants to reveal me as a Stainen and watch the mob consume me. Instead, I'm about to be permanently bound to a monster. I send an imploring glance toward Fane, but he's not looking at me. His eyes are locked on Vale's, as if they're relaying information to each other through the very air. I won't! I snarl at them all, glaring at Malkin Bane. I won't fast to him! I move to flee and cry out as firm hands grip both my arms.
Stop!
Vale's voice rings out clear as he strides forward. He looks grim and calm, but I can feel his fire raging.
so strong it cuts through his mother's affinity.
She can't fast to him,
Vale states coldly, addressing his mother. The Black Witch looks at her son, fire meeting fire.
And why is that?
She's promised to me.
A gasp ripples through the crowd.
You finally agreed to fast?
Carnissa Gardner asks, clearly startled.
We're a perfect match, Mother,
he says, as if only mildly interested in the proceedings, but his fire is burning violently hot. He gestures idly toward me.
Read her affinity lines.
The head priest pulls up my sleeve. I defiantly struggle against the hands restraining me as the Black Witch's fingers clench down around my forearm, tendrils of her dark power curling around my skin. My wall of fire implodes the second she touches me, my affinity instantly laid bare. I'm vulnerable, splayed out like an open book, at the complete mercy of her fire.
Incredible,
she says as I tremble beneath her touch, her terrible heat searing through me. She glances at Vale, astonishment in her eyes.
You're a perfect match, line for line. Amazing.
She looks toward the head priest with excitement.
Imagine the great mages a union like this could bring forth.
The Ancient One works in surprising ways.
The priest responds with a reverent dip of his head.
Thank you, Mage Bane.
The Black Witch tells Malkin as she releases me. I gasp and almost stumble backward, abruptly freed from the weight of her magic.
But if they are promised, then they must be fasted.
Malkin nods, shooting me a dark look, and steps back into the line of level 5 mages. Vale takes his place across from me.
Grasp hands, and place them before our great mage.
The priest intones. He opens the Book of the Ancients to a passage marked with a crimson silk bookmark. I look to Vale, a desperate plea in my eyes, and I can see my own urgency mirrored in his gaze. I can feel how high the stakes are in how hot Vale's fire is running. I have no choice, I realize with crushing certainty. It's Vale Gardner or Malkin Bane. And Vale's trying to help me. He's trying to save me. Choking back a sob, I hold my hands out stiffly. My fire is whipping out of control, my protective wall of magic shattered. Vale grasps my hands firmly in his, and our fires fall into each other, flame crashing through flame. The Black Witch holds her wand over our clasped hands. Her power curls over us, cinching tightly around our hands. She murmurs the spell, and the priest begins the droning prayer. I can barely hear it as hot tears stream down my cheeks. I cry harder as the lines appear, snaking around my hands, around Vale's. The lines curl and creep and then settle, the Black Witch's tendrils of power pulling back and releasing. I try to pull away, but Vale holds on tight.
Seal it,
he says, the words hard and clipped, like the final blow of an axe. I gape at him with sudden fury. I try to pull my hands away, but his clutch is relentless, and suddenly her power is cinching our hands together once more. I glare at Vale wide-eyed, shocked and thrust into a wild confusion by his betrayal. By insisting on the sealing ceremony, Vale is ensuring that the consummation of our fasting occur this very night. But why? Why would Vale want to be sealed? The fasting lines grow darker, more intricately etched. The final bond of a Gardnerian couple, with the inevitable public showing of intimacy, the dark lines ready to spread down our wrists after our union is consummated. I wrench away from Vale, my mouth open in horror. His eyes are on me, white hot, his fire coursing higher.
How could you?
I rasp out. I push through the wall of priests behind me and flee.
Chapter 21 Sanguinin.
Tesla!
I hear my grandfather's heartbreaking, pathetic plea. I ignore him as I bound down the dais steps and erupt into hot, angry tears. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you all.
Let her go. I hear Vale call out as I run down the aisle, my fire lashing. There are sounds of shock as I pass. A soldier laughs and yells out,
Sanguinin!
The word is taken up by more soldiers and echoes after me as I flee. Bloody the sheets, in the ancient tongue, the traditional and awful sealing cheer. I stumble through the doors, past the rows of military guards, confusion etched on their faces. I run and run, past tents, down deserted paths, until my lungs feel full of jagged glass. Until I reach a dark area just past a long line of tents, past the edge of the base. A dark field before me, a darker forest beyond that. Thunder rumbles, lightning cracks in the distance. I fall to my knees, my palms in the dry dirt, sobbing uncontrollably. With each flash of lightning, I can see the black lines snaking around my hands like a cage. An unstoppable wave of grief swamps over me. Wand fasted. Forever. Final as death. I feel his fire before I see him or hear his steps.
Tesla.
My fire explodes. I wheel around, my knees scraping on the rocky dirt. I don't want to be fasted! I snarl at him, my hands clenched into fists. I want to rip off my own skin, rip off the lines. I don't want this!
I know,
he says calmly, but I can feel the full heat of his fire battering against mine. Are they happy now? I cry at him, throwing as much affinity fire as I can toward him. I splay out my cursed hands. Here it is! Proof that I'm pure! I drop my forehead in my hands and clutch at my hair, furious tears coursing down my face. I'm bound. Forever. Vale doesn't move, and his fire doesn't diminish. It's burning hot as mine, barely contained. But he stays where he is, silently watching me. Fasted forever to him. But it could have been Malkin Bane, a small voice reminds me, cutting through the angry fire. It could be much worse. I draw in a shuddering breath, trying to take full stock of the situation. You helped me, I state flatly. He doesn't answer, his fire churning. Defeated, I slump down to sit on the dirt path. Our fires meeting, his outrage surprisingly as scorching as mine. We're fasted, I say miserably, my hands going limp in my lap, fire sparking hot in fits and starts all over my affinity lines.
We are,
he affirms, his mouth a tight line. I take a shuddering breath, wipe away my tears and look up at him.
I didn't want this either,
he tells me, his voice suddenly hard.
A fastmate, fleeing from her own fasting.
His rebuke stings like the point of a knife. I know that, I relent. But you did it anyway. And you saved me. You saved me from him. Vale nods, as if darkly resigned. Then his mouth turns up in a cold smirk.
You're perhaps the only woman in Gardneria who would be this furious over having to fast me.
My fire flares and I glower at him. I'm sorry for not slavering over you sufficiently, Vale.
Don't apologize,
he counters tightly.
I rather enjoy your straightforward displeasure.
Hostility, I scathingly correct him.
Yes, well, it's refreshingly honest.
I'm breathing heavily, fuming, my fire scorching over my affinity lines. He doesn't say anything. Just stands there watching me coolly. I wish I was a man, I spit out in defiance. Vale gives a bitter laugh.
If you were, you might find yourself fasted to someone like Jenna Thorne. You must admit, that would be a fair bit worse.
I shake my head. I'm sick of not having any power, not allowed to have a voice, not allowed to make any important decisions or defend myself. Do you know how many times I've had to fight off attacks? I pin him with my eyes and glare at him with white-hot ferocity. If I'd been trained in the use of a wand... Vale's gaze turns deadly serious. The Celts would have strung you up for witchery. I shoot him a steely glare, my lip curled in a defiant sneer. They wouldn't have been able to catch me.
I'll teach you,
he tells me calmly, but I can feel his fire lashing in hot, furious strokes, barely contained. You'll teach me what? I snap at him.
How to use a wand.
He smirks again.
Without blowing yourself up.
My breath catches tight in my chest, and I gape at him. You would?
I'll even buy you a wand.
He tells me evenly. He's playing with me. He has to be. He can't honestly be offering me a wand. It's illegal to secure wands for mages without council approval, and for him to jest like this only stokes my anger higher. Go ahead, then, I taunt back. Get me a wand. I might strike you down if you irritate me. Vale coughs out a laugh.
You could try. I like to spar with the outrageously overconfident. I have a lot of practice with that.
I don't need your help, I snipe at him. I've used my grandfather's wand.
And what type of wand was that?
Vale asks, his tone condescending. My angry fire burns hotter. I lift my chin. An Elstorth oak wand. Vale spits out a sharp sound of disdain.
The cheapest, most poorly made wands in all of Earthia. They work against power more than they work with it.
I remember the wand I used that terrible night. Then get me a wand like that white wand. I counter. Vale smirks.
I can't get you a wand of power, but I can get you a Maelorian wand.
I eye him closely. There's no slyness in his fire. It's coursing hot and steady. Sweet Ancient One, Vale, you can't actually be serious. Those are outrageously expensive wands. They cost as much as Valgard. He narrows his eyes.
You do realize you have money now.
I stare at him blankly. He gapes at me.
You really hadn't given that any thought?
I was too busy being... upset. Vale gives an incredulous laugh, then shakes his head and grows thoughtful, his fire lashing out. His lips purse into a tight line of displeasure.
You're easily a level 3 mage, maybe even a 4 with the way you can layer power. If you were Noi, you wouldn't have to put up with any of this nonsense. They'd put you right into their Vutrin guard, and they'd be the stronger for it. We waste half our fighting force. I find it deeply ironic that a woman is turning the tide for us.
I stare at him in dumbfounded surprise. He notices my shock and shoots me a sardonic grin.
Not so bad having a fast mate with complete contempt for the rules, is it?
You'd really get me a wand, I marvel. You're not joking. His eyes glitter with fiery mischief.
Oh, Tesla, I'd get you a very nice wand.
Blinking at him, I sit rooted to the spot, my fire out of control, lashing out in angry fits and starts. I stare toward the command tent, and the flames briefly surge, coursing with hatred.
Gods, Tesla, he says. I can feel your fire even more clearly than my own. Would you like to get out of here?
I turn toward him, incredulous, put off by his casual use of the blasphemous gods. There's only one god, the Ancient One, and Vale's idle cursing is jarring. What about my brother? I almost include and my grandfather, but I'm too hurt to even mention grandfather. Ready to lash out or burst into violent tears at the thought of his betrayal. Ren needs me. I've no choice but to stay here. His brow knits tight.
I'll not leave your family here. I have a home in Valgard. I'll arrange for a carriage to bring them there, tonight. They'll be well cared for.
I stare at him, stunned. You'd do that? You'd help them? His brow knits tighter.
Of course, Tesla. You've just made a very good match.
His expression turns cynical.
At least in terms of money and connections.
But if you're bringing my family to Valgard, then where do you want to take me?
Somewhere quiet.
He takes a deep breath and lets it out, staring at me like I'm a puzzle he can't quite figure out.
I have a second home by the Voltic Sea. It's just a small cottage, but it's isolated. Away from...
He motions toward the base as a whole.
Olvis.
Fear and suspicion suddenly flare to life inside me. What if the rumors about him and Fane are wrong? I'd be alone with him, and it would be all too easy for him to take advantage of that in order to consummate our sealing. I won't let you bed me, I tell him fiercely. There's an edge of pathetic desperation in my voice, and I loathe hearing it. He stiffens with offense.
I have no desire to force you into my bed.
I waver, remembering what Fane said earlier. We fit together, Vale and I, like two pieces of a puzzle. If Vale didn't want to wand fast at all, and he has no interest in pursuing our consummation, it must be because of Fane. There's still one question left unanswered, though. Why did you seal the fasting, then? I challenge, raising my line-marked hand into the air. There's a searing flash of irritation in Vale's eyes, as if his reasoning should be patently obvious.
I had them seal us to bring you under my full protection, Tesla. Or would you prefer to stay under the partial guardianship of your grandfather? That was going so deliriously well.
I let out a shaky breath, still furious at Grandfather. I realized that Vale was right to insist on our sealing, right to strip Grandfather of his power over me. Well, in any case, it's done, I observe flatly, turning my hands side to side as more tears sting at my eyes. It's over.
I'm stuck with me, yes,
he snaps.
But it's a fair bit better than being stuck with Malkin Bane. Of that, I can assure you.
His expression loses its sarcastic edge. He looks at me full on, serious and searching.
At some point,
he says with a sigh,
we'll make a trip to Noilands and try to undo this. I can't make any guarantees. This magic is as strong as elfin steel, but it might be possible. All right?
I look to him, his face drawn into hard lines, his fire raging. But there's genuine concern at the edges of his gaze. I nod in unspoken agreement. It's clear he doesn't want this either. Chastened gratitude pricks at me. Why would you do this? I ask him. He spits out a derisive breath, as if irritated by the question, then locks his gaze onto mine, his eyes searing.
Because what they were doing to you was monumentally unfair. Regardless of what they think, you saved the lives of many of the Gardnerians in there. And no offense, but your grandfather seems like an idiot. And I hate idiocy.
I eye his wand with a glimmer of unease. I suppose you're my lord and master now. You're a level 5 mage, and we're sealed.
I would never force you to do anything.
Except Wandfast. I snipe at him. My words are hardly fair. I know they're not. But I'm of no mind to be fair. Vale's face twists into a sneer.
I know you don't want me. I know you don't want any of this.
I'm sorry, Vale. I concede miserably. You helped me. I know I should be thanking you.
I don't want your gratitude,
he says, fuming.
It was well worth it just to see the look on Malcolm Bane's face.
I stare at him, suddenly feeling lost and defeated as his fire lashes against me. My fire is as out of control as his. The pain of my grandfather's cruelty slices through me in jagged cuts and sends my affinity flames roaring higher.
Are you ready to get out of here?
Vale asks. I nod, hating them all, hurt by them all. Everyone but my brother and Fane and Vale. I'm ready, I tell him, my voice breaking with despair. If I stay here, I'll steal that wand straight from your belt and set them all on fire. I narrow my eyes at him. And even your mother won't be able to stop me. Chapter 22 Voltic Sea. My arms are tight around Vale as we ride, my body pressed up close against his back. We didn't pause to collect any belongings. Vale simply requisitioned a black stallion and pulled me up behind him, and we rode away, Vale's lineage and silver stripes giving him leave to go anywhere, do anything he dictated. The wind picks up as we ride, pulling at my hair. Vale's cloak is wrapped around me to cut the chill, his heat fueling my own. He feels good. Too good. His sparking fire radiates off his back, his affinity lines as out of control and fitful as mine, flaring violently at times. Both of us passionately upset. But there's also the matter of how exciting it is to touch him. The muscles of his chest move under my hands, strong and sinewy, and my fire struggles to surge straight into him. Mortified, I pull my fire in hard, but it's like trying to control a raging storm. I resist the urge to move my hands, to slide my fingers over the planes of his chest and trace fire all over it. I hold myself stiffly, but the movement of the horse is rhythmic and bumping, and my fingers slide on their own. Every movement of my hands on him prompts a trail of explosive sparks. We kissed, I think, my fire wanting to crash into him as we raced through forests and farmland. His mouth was hot on mine. I realize with a start that I want him to kiss me again. No, I rebuke myself, shocked by my own thoughts. He won't ever kiss you again. He only did it to save your life, and you only want him because you fall into his affinity so. He belongs to Fane, not to you. The rain begins to spit in fits and starts as the thunder grows closer and more insistent. I'm filled with a mounting frustration, and the chill wind doesn't do anything to dampen my hungry fire. The desire to get even closer to him rocks through me. I want to get under the silk of his tunic, feel his hot skin against mine, forget everything in the whole world and drown in his fire. My face is flushed hot. The heat he's kindling in me. It's all new. I've never had such brazen thoughts in my life. My fire sparks toward Vale in covetous flares, and I struggle to rein it in. Does Fane feel the same wild pull toward Vale? Toward his fire, his hard body? And does Vale want Fane that way, too? A despairing frustration crashes through me that dwarfs the ocean scene opening up before us. Waves crash on the rocks below, the road abutting a sheer cliff dropping down to the Voltic Sea. I'm fasted to a man who will never want me, who wants Fane instead. There's a flash of lightning and a crash of thunder as Vale's cottage comes into view. It's deeply isolated, set down near an arcing beach, with rocky cliffs rising to great heights all around it. The beach is dark, the clouds threateningly low, stormy as the churning water. Of course it's isolated, hidden away from everything, so Vale and Fane can hide what they are to each other. And they can still have each other, I bitterly consider. Fasting places control only over women. But still, I've complicated their already disastrously complicated lives. A sting of miserable regret stabs at me. Regret over any hurt this might cause Fane. The cottage is as stark as the landscape and blends in perfectly. Traditional gardenerian in style. It's constructed of ironwood, carved to resemble a grove of giant trees, their limbs rising up to flow into the stone cliff. Part of the adjacent cliff is hewn into a side arch that's attached to the house. Trees are etched right into the stone, mirroring those carved into the ironwood. There's an upper floor with a semicircle of long windows that open onto a sweeping porch. The porch looks out over the turbulent ocean. It's beautiful. This will never be your cottage, I harshly remind myself. It's Vales and Fanes. I'm an outsider in it, by virtue of their charity. A pitiful outsider and nothing more. The heavens open up. Lightning cracks and rain sheets down on us in glistening, spearing lines. Vale rides down to the cottage and pulls the horse to a stop beneath a long stone arch. Rain spills off the arch's edge in thick streams, the thunder and lightning whipping up into a frenzy. There's a path to a cavernous and well-appointed stable, cut right into the cliff, and I absently stare into it as my misery rises along with the storm's intensity. Vale hastily gets off the horse, as if angered at me, and I feel the loss of his heat acutely, like a blow. He throws me a storming, tortured glance, and I glare right back at him, fighting off the urge to burst into tears. He looks away, his hand tight on the horse's bridle, waiting for me to dismount. I hop off the stallion, made clumsy by my tear-blurred vision. Vale quickly leads the horse away, as if he can't wait to be rid of the sight of me. It's too much. I turn and walk away, straight into the storm, meet with the rain and surrender to my fury and anguish, letting my fire lash out in fractured spears. I walk clear away from the house, right up to a cliff's sharp drop. There's a path that would take me right up to the edge of the Baltic Sea. The rain's now pelting my face, chilling me to the bone, and I clench my fast-lined fists and cry into it, staggeringly aware of what I've lost. Yes, I can make a life for my family now, and I should be grateful. But Vale's enticing fire has, for the moment, singed all other thoughts to ash, save for one painful realization. I splay out my hands in front of me, rain pelting the black, curling lines. I'll never be loved, never have a true fasting. I'll never have anyone. Because of Grandfather. It's all his fault, I seethe. My arrogant, pious Grandfather's fault. Anger rears up and slashes through me. A wave of heat hits my back.
Tesla.
Vale's hand touches my arm. Fire flashes through me with his firm touch, his hand so warm. It feels so wildly good, which shatters my heart anew. I wrench my arm away from Vale and round on him, my breathing gone erratic and harsh, everything exploding out of me in a sudden rush. I took care of them for years, I cry at Vale, teeth gritted, tears streaming. Thunder crashes around us. His hair and body are slick with rain, which only makes him more beautiful. His fiery green eyes sear into me. I'm pulling in staccato breaths, unable to control my despair. I made all the money, did all the hard work. The two of them sick for years and years. And then he forces me, gives me no say, goes behind my back. It hurts. It hurts that he'd do that to me. My chest is heaving so hard that my sobbing has grown painful. I was powerless there, and I'm still powerless here. How could he? How could he do this to me? I raise my cursed hands as my rage devolves into a wounded keening. Vale's face is set tight. There's a whirlwind of conflict in his eyes. The rain has completely soaked him now, and I look him over with open longing. His lips are drawn, and he briefly glances out over the steel-gray ocean. Then he turns back to me, his gaze fierce. If I'd only left a week earlier, I say with anguish, I'd be there. I'd be in Verbaccia right now.
Tesla, Vale says, come in out of the rain.
There's an adamant insistence in his tone, but also something else. Genuine concern. Lightning streaks and thunder crashes, and I'm suddenly aware of how cold I am. But I can't look.